Turn with me, if you would, this morning to Genesis chapter 29, and if we can read the words in verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Genesis chapter 29 and at verse 31. Can I begin by wishing you all a very happy and spiritually prosperous new year, not only obviously on behalf of myself, but on behalf of Katrina and the girls. We would wish that this new year that we've now entered into would indeed be a blessed new year to you all. A new year brings with it its many changes, and who could imagine the many changes that would have taken place over the past 12 months? Who could have imagined that at the beginning of this year there would be a lockdown, that a small virus would bring the whole nation almost to a stop? It's as though the Lord is speaking to us in this new year and showing to us the arm of flesh is not what we should be trusting in. We see the many changes that have taken place over the last year in our nation. But it's not just within the nation that there are changes that take place. Changes take place in the congregation. We look back a year ago. There are those who were with us last year who are no longer with us, have been taken out of this world, and we pray taken into glory to be with the Lord. So that the last year has brought with it times of happiness to some people that may look back on the past year and see the happy times and the many blessings that the Lord has given to us. And at the same time, there are those who will be looking back on the past year and at this particular time will be remembering what the past year has brought to them, the sadness that they have encountered. If there's anything that the new year brings to us, and particularly this new year, it's how things change. How things differ from one year to the next. And this year in particular, these changes have been brought before us so very markedly. But today what I want to do is to bring to you three things that never change. Three things that doesn't matter what year will come, there are three things that never change in this world. They were there last year, they're there this year, and if we are spared, they will be there in 12 months' time. Three things that never change. The first is the prevalence of sin. Never changes. The prevalence of sin. Secondly, the mercy of the Lord. Never changes. It was there last year. And the progress of the gospel. And the furtherance of the gospel. Doesn't change. Another year comes, another year goes, and the gospel progresses. God's purposes, covenant purposes, carry on. These three things, then, we want to look at from our text this morning. The prevalence of sin. You see sin in the world. And that's perhaps typified to us by Laban. If you think of how, when we come down to the text and how Leah is in this marriage situation with Jacob and in conflict with her sister. She's now in a marriage that Jacob doesn't love her. How does that all come about? It's because of the prevalence of sin. You see it with Laban when Jacob comes down, and it's almost as though when you read through it, it's emphasizing his mother's brother, his mother's brother. There's a relationship here between Laban and Jacob. They're not complete strangers. When you go back to the verses 10, it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob went near and rolled the stone and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. It's almost as though it's emphasizing the natural relationship there is between Laban and Jacob. And yet you look at the way that Laban treats his own flesh and blood, and you soon begin to see the prevalence of sin in this world. Now, in many respects, Laban can be excused for some of it. He wants a dowry for his daughter, and 7 years is what he wants for each of these daughters. And you almost feel that if he had 10 daughters, Jacob would be there 70 years, 7 years for every one of his daughters. And the only thing you can say about that is how steep the price is that Laban wants. Laban wants his pound of flesh. Laban wants, he's not going to give his daughters away for nothing. Now, in many respects, he can be excused for that, because that was the custom of the day, that something would be given. The extent of what he asks is excessive. But yet, in one respect, he can be forgiven for it, because that's what would be expected. But what he can't be forgiven for is the deceitful way in which he gives his daughter Leah away. The deceitfulness that he uses in order to trick Jacob into taking the oldest of the daughters. Leah is the elder, Rachel is the younger. How deceitful Laban is. But my friend, that's with you all the time. The world works on deceitfulness. How many of us here today can say that when you listen to politicians, you believe everything they say? How many of you can listen to the news or pick up a paper and say, well, there is the truth? You can't trust what people say in the news. You can't trust politicians. You've got to examine everything they say. My friend, that's the world we live in. That's the world of Laban, an idolater. And yet he deceives even his own flesh and blood. And he excuses himself for it. It's the custom, he says, that you, the eldest daughter must be taken first. That's the custom. That's his excuse. My friend, that's no excuse for the way he went about deceiving Jacob. People today make excuses for their sin. Well, we'll introduce this law and we'll introduce that law, and here is our reason for doing it. Doesn't matter what God says. Here's our reason. Here is our excuse. They introduce laws. They do things that are contrary to God's word, and they make excuse for it. But there is no excuse. Laban has deceived Jacob, his own flesh and blood. And my friend, the prevalence of sin is there from the fall. It's the one thing that never changes. However civilized society may become, the prevalence of sin is always there. It's always there. It's there in the world because the heart of man doesn't change. Now we think to ourselves, let's throw the stones at the world. Let's take a stone and throw it at Laban because of his sin. But what about the church? Here is Jacob. Now you might say in many respects that there is an excuse for Jacob as well. Polygamy in these days wasn't so explicitly ruled out by the Lord as it was later on when the Lord gives the laws in Leviticus, when it's specifically spoken against, and it's certainly spoken against by the Lord Jesus Christ. But it wasn't so obvious to Jacob at that time. So you can, in many respects, give Jacob the benefit of the doubt. He now has 2 wives. But what you can't now excuse is the fact that he doesn't love Leah, his wife. That is specifically stated to Adam when he marries Eve. It says Adam is to cleave unto his wife, to forsake his mother and father, and to cleave unto his wife. But Jacob here doesn't cleave unto Leah. Leah is his wife. And we are told of him that he that he hates Leah. Now, that doesn't mean to say that he goes about violent to her or is going about hating her. It is saying that he doesn't love Leah the way he ought to love Leah. He doesn't love her the way he should love her. And that was a sin. You see, we can talk about the sins of the world and the prevalence of sin in the world, but my friend, sin is prevalent in the church. There is none righteous, no, not one. And even at best, even in the best of churches, we fall far short of what we ought to be. Marriage is a picture of Christ and his bride, and we are to love God's people. We are to, herein ye know ye have passed from death unto life, in that ye love the brethren. Now Jacob might say, well, I didn't really hate her. No, Jacob, but did you love her the way you ought to love her? Do we love the Lord's people the way we ought to love God's people? We might say, well, we don't hate God's people. We're not violent against God's people. We're not X, Y, and Z against God's people. That's not the question. The question is, do we love God's people the way we ought to love God's people? Ah, you see, the prevalence of sin in the world, the prevalence of sin in the church, it tells us that we need once again at the beginning of another year not to look to man, but to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we must look. We must look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ that you find the one who is the sinless Son of God. He alone is the Lamb of God that was without spot and without blemish. And it is in the Lord Jesus Christ that we will find salvation. You will not find salvation in the world. You will not find salvation simply in the church. You will find salvation only in Jesus Christ the Lord. The prevalence of sin in the world, the prevalence of sin in the church, the prevalence of sin in your own heart. Jacob failed. Jacob sinned. Laban sinned. And today we see the prevalence of sin has never gone away. It's still there. But following on from that, the second thing that is unchanging, if the prevalence of sin is unchanging, then the mercy of the Lord is unchanging. The mercy of the Lord doesn't change. My friend, if you look back over the past year, can we not say, yes, the prevalence of sin is there in our land. The prevalence of sin is even in the church. But the mercy of the Lord is still there and it doesn't change. Look at what it says. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated. You see, the Lord saw Leah's predicament. Imagine putting yourself into the position that this young woman was in. She was now at odds with her sister. Her sister, we are told, envied her. Her younger sister was now envying her because of her position. She was now in a marriage that Jacob loved Rachel but did not love her the way he ought to. So much so that it says that he saw that she was hated of Jacob in her own eyes. That's what it was like. She was as one who was in great trial and tribulation. And the Lord saw it. The Lord saw Rachel's concerns. But the Lord didn't do anything for Rachel at this time. Why was that? Why did the Lord deal with Leah the way he did? Well, it is obvious from what you read here that Leah was one of God's people. Even though she had been complicit in the marriage in the first place through her father, probably forced to do what she did. She wanted Jacob. She loved Jacob. But Jacob didn't love her. And now she was in this sorrowful place. What was she going to do? Well, if you look at how Leah reacts when the Lord blesses her, you discover that Leah, although raised up as an idolater, her father was an idolater, Rachel brought the idolatry with her. The idols, remember, she hid, and she hid them from Laban, not Leah. Leah didn't do that. At this point, Leah prays to the Lord in the midst of her trouble. You can see that from the very names that she gave. We mentioned that last night, the very names that she gave to her children. Reuben, see a son. Simeon, hearing. Levi, joined. You see, she's seeing the hand of the Lord even in the midst of her troubles. Leah conceived to bear a son, and she called his name Reuben. Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, because the Lord had heard that I was hated. You see, Leah brings her trouble to the Lord, and the Lord heard. How did Leah come to trust in the Lord? Well, she must have surely seen something even in Jacob. For all the faults of Jacob, Jacob was a man of God, and Leah must have seen something in Jacob that drew her to the Lord as well. My friend, is that not what we pray in this coming year? That for all the faults of the church, that for all the failings that we have in preaching the word and in gathering here, all the failings that we have as a congregation, but in the midst of it all, the Lord would bless his word to some poor Leah that passes the door here. Some poor sinner that passes the door and comes in perhaps and listens to the gospel and is richly blessed. Leah appears to have been blessed because she calls upon the Lord and the Lord hears her prayer. Poor Leah. Everything seems to be against her, doesn't it? She's the elder daughter. She's not as beautiful as Rachel is. When you go to verse 17, it says Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, theologians and they look over this tender-eyed. What does it mean? It can mean one of two things. It can mean that her eyes were the only thing that really commended her. In the East here, that the eyes, you know, blue eyes, big blue eyes. Maybe her eyes were the only thing that commended her. Or maybe there was something wrong with her eyes that took away from her looks. But you see, Leah was not. When it comes to Rachel, it says Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. It's obvious that Leah wasn't as well-favored or as beautiful as Rachel. It's not very often what young people and what, you know, really what matters is how I look. Really what matters is the way I present myself. As long as I'm beautiful, as long as I'm this, that, and the other, people are taken up with the outward, you know. But you see, Leah, although she wasn't as beautiful as Rachel, yet she had something that was far greater, and that was a spiritual beauty. The Lord blessed Leah. Let's not be confused at the beginning of another year with simply outward beauty. Let's not be confused with the mere outward, the way things seem. God doesn't look upon the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. And the Lord heard the cries of Leah as she is in the midst of her times of sorrow. Four times. And ultimately, at the very last occasion, she cries out, first of all, "Reuben, behold a son. The Lord has given me a son." Simeon, hearing, "The Lord has heard." Levi, "The Lord has joined." Until she comes to the fourth son, and his name is Judah. Praise. Praise the Lord. You see, the Lord was merciful to Leah in the midst of her sorrow. In many respects, she was still there. She was still in this marriage. She was still married to Jacob. She loved Jacob. And she knew that Jacob loved Rachel more than her. But you see, in the middle of her sorrow, she came to recognize the Lord was there, her helper. My friend, have you had sorrow in the past year? Have you known what it is to have had trials and difficulties in the last year? Do you know what it is to be cast down in the last year for whatever reasons? You've maybe lost someone that's been close to you. A wife, a brother. You've lost them. The Lord won't take you out of that. But in the midst of it, the Lord can bring you to praise him. To cry out, "Judah, praise the Lord." Leah, in the midst of it, the Lord blessed her in the middle of her trials. And the same Lord is present today in 2020. In fact, we've got even greater reason to believe how the Lord helps his people, because he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, into this world to suffer and to die in the room instead of sinners. So there is the prevalence of sin, and there is the mercy of the Lord unto Leah. And that brings us to the third thing, the progress of the gospel. The progress of the gospel. You see, in the midst of all this that's going on, Jacob's sin, Laban's sin, and all that was going on, you would have thought that God's covenant promises would somehow have been brought to a standstill. You would have thought the furtherance of Messiah would have been brought to a standstill. You look over the past 12 months and all that's gone on in our nation, and you would have thought that the gospel would have come to a standstill. My friend, the gospel never comes to a standstill. God's purposes continue to unfold. His purposes of grace towards his church never change. How do we know that in the case of Leah? Well, look at how blessed Leah really was. When she came to the name Judah, praise the Lord, what do we know about Judah? Well, that was the one from which Messiah would come. It would be from Leah's offspring that the king would come. It is from Judah that the Lord would... What a great blessing. I wonder even if Leah herself realized the great blessing that there was in this fourth son. Had the Lord revealed to her, praise the Lord, here is the one from which the Messiah would come. You see, in the very midst of all that's going on, God would bring forth his Messiah. And in that, you see, what was it that Leah really needed at this time? What was it that she required most of all? Well, we know that. It was the love of Jacob. It was Jacob's love that was all so very necessary. But my friend, I think Leah came to realize that there is a greater love than even the love that she had for Jacob, that Jacob had for Rachel. There is a greater love that she came to realize, and that's the love of God. to his people in Christ Jesus. Is there a love to compare with the love that God has to his own people? Is there a love to compare with the love that the Lord, that God himself showed when he sent his own beloved Son into this world? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Even in the midst of this, God's covenant purpose of the Messiah is being brought out. And in the midst of it then, Leah accepts the trial that she's had to go through. It's as though in the midst of it, as the Lord reveals to her and gives her this last of the four sons, as though she has the great blessing. Praise the Lord. Here is the one from which the Messiah would come. Does that mean that Rachel wasn't ultimately blessed? Rachel was blessed. She had two sons. She had Joseph, the son that Jacob loved above all. Joseph and Benjamin, the two sons that he loved above all, came from Rachel. And Rachel says that she would die. If only the Lord would give her a son, she would die. Dying for a son. And my friend, she got her wish. When Benjamin is born, she lives just long enough to see this son. And she dies. And she's buried. Not buried with Jacob's ancestors in the cave where Abraham is buried. She's buried in Rachel's tomb down near Bethlehem. Later on, Leah dies and Jacob dies, and both Jacob and Leah are buried together in the cave of his ancestors. Isn't that strange, isn't it? Jacob and Leah buried together. You see how strange the working of the Lord, isn't it? How strange God's providence really is. Rachel, that Jacob loved, is buried by the side of the road down in Bethlehem. They couldn't take the body back. But then Jacob is buried with Leah. And from Leah comes the Messiah. My friend, Leah is one who feels almost isolated. We see people today isolated. Leah is isolated because Jacob doesn't love her. And Rachel now is estranged to her. All she's got is her handmaiden. But you see, in the midst of it, she discovered that she's not alone. She discovered that the Lord was there to bless her. And ultimately, even at the end of her life, she wasn't alone. She was buried with Jacob. My friend, isn't it wonderful that the Lord's people ought never to be alone? You may be isolated. You may be living on your own. But the Lord says, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. The Christian is never alone. He's never isolated. Because the Lord can bless poor Leah in the midst of her distress. So the Lord can bless the poor sinner today. He blesses. No one is isolated when they know the love of God in Jesus Christ, the Lord. Well then, She knows that the Lord loves her. She's blessed by the Lord. And it's the same Lord today. The Lord Jesus, the Lord gave to Leah a son. His name was Judah. And from Judah would come the kings of Israel. What has the Lord given us today? It's not Judah. It's not one of the great patriarchs that he's given to us. The Lord has given to his people today his own beloved son, Jesus Christ, so that we are able to say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the midst of trials and tribulations, difficulties and sorrow, be like Leah. Come to praise the Lord in the midst of your trial. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee that even though Leah was not as beautiful as Rachel, and even though she was not loved by Jacob as Rachel was, and even though now there was contention between her and her sister, what trials God's people go through. These are things that never change. The prevalence of sin never changes, but the mercy of the Lord never changes. He heard the plaintive cry of Leah, and he blessed her, giving her Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and ultimately Judah himself. We thank thee that in it all, summing up in the name of Judah, is the fact that the Lord himself had blessed, that the Lord himself had heard, that the Lord himself had joined. It was the Lord that did it all. And therefore she was able to say, praise the Lord. He blessed her with a son from whom came the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. She blessed her even in the fact that she was buried with her beloved Jacob. We are taught in all of this that in 2021, the Lord is able to do more for us than we can ever think or even imagine. For he is able to bring his people into glory. He is able to bring his people to be with the Lord, which is far better. Lord, may this be our great comfort and our strength in days of trial. Bless us now. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to conclude singing in Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence doth come mine aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, to heaven and earth hath made. Thy foot he'll not let slide, nor will he slumber that thee keeps. Behold, he that keeps Israel, he slumbers not, nor sleeps. The Lord thee keeps, the Lord thy shade, on thy right hand doth stay. The moon by night thee shall not smite, nor yet the sun by day. The Lord shall keep thy soul, he shall preserve thee from all ill. Henceforth thy going out and in, God keep forever will. Psalm 121, to the tune French, I to the hills. Once again, I would ask, I would pray that you would all have a good new year, and that the Lord will bless you in this year and bless the congregation in this coming year. The services will be on the Lord's Day at 11 a.m. and 6:30, and the prayer meeting on Monday, and then the congregational prayer meeting on Thursday at 7:30. These are all the intimations that, God willing, will conclude with a benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.